Well, welcome everybody. Another great episode of Playing with Perspective, the suspended animation podcast. We've got episode 37 here for you today on this beautiful Wednesday. And I have a very special guest and someone who's reasonably famous in his area of expertise. And his name is Rich Harvey. So how are you doing, Rich?
Very good, Darren. Great to be with you on the podcast today.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for having me. And we're going to be chatting all about buyer's agents, is now the right time to buy property, and all these fantastic questions that I'm sure everybody will have. And welcome everybody who's joining us live on our Facebook feed as well. But let me dive in and just introduce Rich before we jump into some more Q&A. So who is Rich Harvey? Rich Harvey is a buyer's agent, economist, property investor, and CEO of propertybuyer.com.au. A totally independent buyer's agency that specializes in searching, appraising, and negotiating real estate exclusively for buyers. Rich has won 34 major awards, including the prestigious National Telstra Business Award. He is a 9-time winner in the REI NSW Buyer's Agent Award for Excellence, 2005 to 2019. He appeared and is the buyer's agent host of the TV series Buying Blind on Channel 9. Rich has served as president of the Real Estate Buyers Agent Association of Australia and chairman of the Buyers Agent Chapter of the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales to improve the professionalism and standards within the buyers agency industry. Rich and his team at Property Buyer have purchased over 3,000 properties for their clients. He is a regular speaker at property shows and a commentator for the major property magazines, Financial Review, Domain, Sky Business, Channel 7 and 9, and other leading media. So, wow, Rich, I'm humbled.
Oh, you got a great podcast, mate. So you're up there with them.
So very, very humbled to have you on the show. And as I mentioned, we're going to be chatting about, is now the right time to invest? And none other than Rich Harvey, the famous buyer's agent, loads of experience to tell us more about all that. But before we do that, maybe Rich, tell us a bit about you. Jump in and tell us a bit about you.
Well, thanks, Darren. I appreciate being on the podcast. So a bit about me. Yeah, well, after that wonderful introduction, I'm married. I've got two wonderful sons that are just finished school and making their way in life as a tradesman and a videographer. We really enjoy family life, and we enjoy going away on holidays. I enjoy water skiing is one of the things I do, and a bit of surfing. I love keeping fit, particularly in these COVID-19 times. I'm trying to get out every morning just to keep fit and keep sane. And I find that doing a bit of exercise in the morning, it just fires me up, gets my brain geared up and ready to do business, you know. So, that's probably enough about me. I've got a team of 10 people in the team, and you know, being a buyer's agent for the past 20 years, so almost coming up to 2 decades. So, yeah, about time for long service leave, I reckon. Yeah.
Like it's fascinating because I didn't even know of buyer's agents till about 3-4 years ago. Shows how much I know.
Yeah, well, I think they've become a lot more popular, you know, in the last 10 years. I mean, I used to do seminars when I first started my business, and I'd ask people in the room, so tell me, put up your hand if you've heard of a buyer's agent. Maybe 2 or 3 people put up their hands. But today, pretty much the majority of the room puts their hand up. Yeah, so I think it's becoming a lot more prevalent, a lot more commonplace than it was in the past.
Definitely. And I also heard that in America, you can't buy a property without a buyer's agent. Something like that.
That's right. Well, they have a slightly different model in America. So in to sell your home and to buy your home, they have buyers, brokers and sellers at brokers. But the key difference is in America, the selling agent, the buying agent often work in the same office, right, and they share the commission. So it's like a 5% or 6% commission to sell your property. Yeah. Half goes to the buying agent, half to the selling agent. We have a very different model here. We're completely independent in the way that we do business. We charge the buyer a fee, and then the selling agent charges the vendor a fee. So very, very separate, very different kind of model. But yeah, it's a lot more, everyone's used to using buyer's brokers or buyer's agents in the States. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, especially we're all getting busier and busier as well. And, you know, we want to outsource things as much as we can. So why not outsource to a buyer's agent that, you know, can get you better deals and can get you access to things that you're not normally can get access to. But that kind of leads me to my first question, because I'm learning as I go as well. Is using a buyer's agent becoming more popular in general, or is it just for particular types of properties?
Yeah, well, the myth is, Darren, that the buyer's agents are just for the rich and famous, and that's absolutely not true. Buyer's agents are for ordinary mums and dads. first home buyers, single parents, first time investors, upgraders, downsizers, sideways movers. It's for high net worths and celebrities. So it's really for everybody. And I think, you know, the demographic that you use a buyer's agent is very widespread, you know. So I think, yes, it is absolutely becoming more popular. And I think as people, as you say, are time poor, or even if they're not time poor, they may not know the market. They may not understand, you know, where they should be investing their money. Or when they come to negotiating with a real estate agent, they go in unaware. You know, they're going to be like a lamb to the slaughter and get absolutely hammered in the negotiation process and not stand up for themselves. Or they might overpay. Yep. Or they might become emotional at auction and it just, you know, get carried away. So there's a lot of reasons to think about using a buyer's agent, and it's certainly becoming more popular. I mean, the volume of transactions that we used to do in the past to today is vastly different. And I think people know of our reputation, and we don't need to do as much sort of online marketing as we used to. We still do, but a lot of people just give us referrals because they know we do a great job and we've got a great reputation. And they really like the idea of having a property advisor on their side, someone that's going to be with them every step of the buying journey, right from the point of deciding what to buy, where to buy, through to actually negotiating and closing the deal.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And as you say, I mean, it's always good to have a specialist that knows what they're doing in a particular field, particularly when you're coming into that for the first time, maybe. You know, someone who's been doing something for 20 years, knows the ins and outs, knows the tricks and the traps, you know, can really cost you a lot of, save you a lot of grief.
Well, I think, Darren, I remember reading, I can't remember who wrote the book, 10,000 Hours or something of that effect. And, you know, you look at the tennis players, right? The great tennis players or great golfers. And when they get on the court, they might hit, you know, a couple of thousand balls a day, or a particular way that they hit the ball, a particular way they train. So just like us, you know, we've bought over 3,000 properties for our clients over a period of time. So that builds up an incredible database of knowledge and skill and experience that we bring to the table. And, you know, if you don't know the values of an area, if you don't know how to pick a good investment property, if you don't know how to research the market, we can leverage all of that to the client's benefit. And because we're so good at it, we just sort of treat it as second nature. And I've got to pick myself up sometimes. And, you know, when I see a client signing a contract and they've got the pen in their hand and they're kind of nervous about it, I think, don't be nervous. It's like, I've done it. And they haven't done it before. I've got to have great empathy for my clients. I think, you know, it's like second nature. It's like, you know, going catching a bus for me. But buying a property, for most people, they only do it two or three times in their lifetime.
That's right.
And it's a very pivotal time and a really crucial time in their lives where they've got to make good decisions, and it's imperative they have good advice around that decision.
Absolutely. I can imagine. I can remember a few times in my life when I've had to sign important contracts and my hands were shaking too.
Yeah.
But tell us a bit about how you became a buyer's agent. How did you get into it in the first place?
Sure. So I one of my first jobs at university after university was working in the government. I worked for a state minister, you know, the Minister for Transport at the time. And then I went on to become an economist, a senior economist in government, working for the Environment Protection Authority. And I was actually an environmental economist. I did a double degree in economics. I did a master's and a bachelor's. And and I really enjoyed economics and understanding how the economy works. And I was working in that field for a while and doing a lot of work on environmental policy, particularly on Sydney's water and air pollution, and provided a lot of analysis to improve the quality of our city. But I got a little bit bored doing cost-benefit analysis every day, and I started to buy properties. I was earning an okay wage, and I started to buy property, and I started to make a bit more money than my daily wage by investing in good quality properties. And I thought, wow, hey, here's a niche here. And then a lot of, you know, I went to a lot of financial planners to ask advice on how to structure a portfolio, and none of them could give me an answer. All they wanted to do was sell me insurance or sell me into a managed fund. Yeah. They didn't really want to look at my whole financial plan in a holistic way and add property into the mix. So I thought, here's a business opportunity. So I started up Property Buyer 19 and a half years ago. It'd be 20 years in October, actually.
Wow.
So that's how I got into it. The other reason that was motivated me is my brother actually got stung by one of those property spruikers. Remember the old days where they'd fly you up to the Gold Coast and the guy would meet you in his, you know, his white suit and his leather shoes and the chain and take you around and say, hey, unless you buy this property today, unless you sign, it's going to be gone on Monday.
That's right.
Well, my poor brother decided to buy one of those properties and got lost a bit of money on it. So I was pretty ticked off with that. He didn't talk to me for advice. So I kind of really thought the buyer needs to be protected. You know, the buyer needs more help in this transaction. No one was representing the buyer. The agent is representing the vendor, the seller, but no one's representing the buyer. So I thought, here's a golden opportunity to, you know, capitalize on a market in Australia and help people achieve their home ownership goals and their investment property goals all at once. So I sleep very well at night knowing I'm doing that.
That's really nice. And were you one of the first buyer's agents in Australia?
I wasn't one of the first, but I was certainly one of the original ones. Yeah. Like, I mean, there were a couple around and I've really, you know, built obviously a reputation from that. And it's obviously been accelerated since being on that Buying Blind show as well.
Yeah. Fantastic, mate. Well done. So, I mean, now is a bit of a tricky time, obviously, for everybody. Mm. How has that affected the real estate market? And is now a good time to buy? And what's going to happen in the next few months? What's your take on all that?
Is now a good time to buy? I get asked this question probably every single day, probably four or five, maybe 10 times a day, Darren. So is now a good time to buy? Well, let's sort of take a step back and look at the beginning of the year. So heading into 2020, we'd come off in 2019, two elections, a state election and a federal election in Australia. And the market was on a very strong recovery path. We weren't quite back to 2017 prices in Sydney and Melbourne, but very strong recovery. So February started very well, March started okay, and then COVID-19 hit and sentiment plunged. So consumer sentiment, the market, the share market took a dive, everyone went into lockdown. Yeah. So we've basically started the year with a really strong fundamental growth, and then it's really, you know, the rug's been pulled out. Yeah. Look, what I typically find, Darren, in times of crisis or like with the GFC or oil price shocks or all of these kind of economic externalities that hit the market, there's a time where people go into panic. Yep. And there's a time where people just, you know, run for cover, sit on their hands, put the money under the mattress and don't make decisions or do anything. But what we tend to find will happen is gradually as optimism and confidence, consumer confidence returns, people emerge from the fog and go, what happened? Okay, well, sky's not falling. I can get another job if I've lost my job. And the market begins to recover. So I'm actually just writing some research and be releasing my newsletter on this very topic, is now the right time to buy on Monday. Nice. And what I'm saying is that the next 3 months, in fact, basically from May, we're recording this now in May 2020, is actually the next 3 months will be the most incredible opportunity to buy that I've seen in probably a decade. Wow. You know, we saw pre-election in 2019, that was probably the previous best time to buy. Yep. When market sentiment was really down, everyone thought negative gearing was going to be removed. When that didn't happen and the other government was returned and that policy was quashed, suddenly confidence regained quite quickly. Yep. So I think once we come out of this kind of economic shock, like a lot, look, obviously we've got to have a lot of empathy for those that have lost their job. It's a very difficult time for a lot of people and our heart goes out to them. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the property market, it's pretty resilient and we've already seen price drops of 5%, maybe 10%. I don't think we're going to get much more of a drop. Everyone talks about lots of foreclosures. I don't foresee a situation where that's going to happen. I think the market is going to remain quite stable. And then also the other factor is there's not a lot of stock available on market. So that's another counterbalancing factor. And we've got bank holidays. People can take a loan repayment and not have to repay their loan for 6 months. And then people say, oh, what about happens when they've got to start paying their loans again? Well, you know, people generally have enough equity or some sort of buffer in their account to cover that. Sure, there will be some, but I don't think it's going to be widespread. So the simple answer is yes, great time to buy. And I'd rather be buying right now in May and June when I've got like one other competitor trying to buy a property.
Absolutely.
Than in September or October when there's 10 other people at an auction trying to buy the same quality property and the vendor's expectations are back up north of where they used to be.
That's right. And I mean, as you say, you know, everybody always says, let's wait. Prices will drop. But that's a never ending cycle. You have to bite the bullet at some point and say, it's a great time. Let's just go.
Well, there's lots of procrastinators out there. The I'll wait scenario. I'll keep on waiting for the perfect scenario. And it never happens. You know, everyone's, you know, looks for the perfect opportunity to buy. And you can't actually pick the exact bottom of the market. You know, I said when COVID-19 hit, one of the best times to buy when there's peak panic. And we're already past the peak of the pandemic now in Australia, fortunately, where everyone's got on board with social distancing, which is wonderful. Definitely. Hopefully everyone will download the app and we can all get back to work a bit sooner. Yep. But that's the time to buy when the sentiment is at its lowest point. You know, I mean, good old Warren Buffett quote gets overused, but be fearful when others are the greedy, greedy when others are fearful. It's a very apt quote to apply in a property market that has a strong fundamental base to go forward on.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. And that's actually a really good point. You know, with the situation with COVID and social distancing and the logistical side of things, how has that affected auctions, inspections? You know, we have to be face-to-face and in contact with people. How does that work?
Yeah, so obviously with social distancing rules, they brought in a ban on public auctions. Right. So auctions were no longer allowed, but they could have online auctions. So, and with opening for inspections, there was a limit, and there still is now, a limit of two people in the open house at any one time. So the agent can go through with one person, or the agent can stand outside and send two people in to view the home. And they're typically doing 5 and 10 minute inspection. So you can't just turn up, you've got to do it by appointment, like the great old good old days.
Yep.
So some agents are really embracing it, others are really frustrated by it. But there's certainly the volume of properties and the volume of inspections and auctions is way down on what the normal market would be.
Right.
But that can also work very much in the buyer's favor, Darren, because you know with auctions, they've lost their mojo. If you're not in an auction room, where the auctioneer is doing his song and dance, right, and you know, last third and final call, I'm going to knock it down. And he can't interact as easily with all of the buyers because he can't look in the whites of their eyes and see how nervous they're, when they're sweating bullets. You
good
know,
point. Good point.
I mean, so I think you know we're not going to see any great, amazing reserve you know, prices overturned in the next few weeks. But I think it's another good opportunity to buy for that reason.
Wow, and I mean, I think that a lot of this technology-based part of the process has already started to, was already happening before COVID, wasn't it?
Like, yeah, look, I mean, online auctions were already there. There's a group called Gabble.
Yep.
I know Damon Cooley from Cooley Auctions was already using it, but it's accelerated that opportunity. Yep. I mean, the smart agents prefer to have an in-room auction, and for those that can't attend, have an online presence.
Yep.
And for us as buyer's agents, look, we help a lot of clients buy at auction that either can't attend physically because they're busy with work or they don't want to attend or they're simply interstate or overseas. So we as buyer's agents attend a lot of auctions for our clients.
It's amazing when you think about it. I can be on my phone, on Zoom, on FaceTime,
yeah,
buying a house.
That's right, exactly.
From my desk. Isn't that mad?
It's amazing.
Quite amazing. Mm. Now, I'd love to hear about maybe an example or two of someone or, you know, you helping someone with access an incredible deal in this particular time.
Sure.
Not obviously using any names and maintaining confidentiality, sure, but I'd love to hear a story or two about that.
Yeah, great. I'd love to share some stories. So, beginning of the year, I've helped a number of clients to buy some properties. Helped a lovely family buy a property in Killarney Heights a couple of weeks ago. They had a budget of around about 2.2. So pretty healthy budget, very tightly held market. There's not a lot of transactions that occur, not a lot of properties come on the market in that area. And, you know, we missed out on a couple at auction in February. I found an off-market one that they were going to buy. And then another one that I thought was out of their reach at 2.4, COVID-19 hit. And suddenly it was like, wow, you know what? I could actually have an opportunity to buy this $2.4 million property at a much lower rate.
Wow.
So cut a long story short, negotiated, and I got it for 2.2. So saved them 200 grand on what they would have normally paid in a normal market for that particular property. It was a big, large, 5-bedroom plus study home.
Oh, fantastic.
Master bedroom was like a warehouse. It was like 11 by 10 meters. It was huge with district views. So really, really good opportunity. Also, in the beginning of the year, I bought a really nice 2-bedroom unit down in Manly, 400 metres to the wharf. Got that for 1.2 for an investor client. Now, Manly, again, very tightly held market, really difficult to buy in, but should have been worth about 1.3, 1.35.
Yeah.
And I got that for 1.2, and that'll be a great performer for an investor client. Another one I did recently too, I bought another family home in Pennant Hills for a client. Now, this property only came on the market on, I think it was the Wednesday. I arranged an inspection on the Thursday. Now, the agent, it was COVID-19 time. The agent really didn't want to take people through. And she had said, Rich, I've got 6 people lined up for Saturday.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I can't get there Saturday. I've got to go and take a client to another property. Can I come tomorrow at 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
I was trying to beat, obviously, the other buyers. So I got my clients, went there at 4 o'clock on the Thursday. They loved it. I prepared an appraisal straight after the inspection. Cut a long story short, we got it for 1.4 and exchanged on the Friday.
Wow.
So, and then all the other buyers that were, you know, disappointed missed out because we did what's called a 66W, which means there's no cooling off period. Right. So I got the pest and building guy there on the Friday morning, got the inspections done, all lined up and got it exchanged on the Friday. So again, and that property in a normal market would have sold for about 155. So it's about $150,000 discount to a normal market as well. So what I'm saying is COVID-19 property discounts, here we come. Some good opportunities, you know. It's not saying that we're trying to pinch every property. You know, we try to get the best value we can, but, you know, there's more motivated vendors out there, and we just, you know, obviously want to work with buyers that have got finance and got that capacity to move quickly on opportunities.
Yeah, it just goes to show you, if you're ready and you've got your finances in place and you're mentally there, then there are opportunities in any situation.
That's right. Correct. That's
fascinating. And I can imagine that those people that exchanged and bought quickly, they, the settlement was going to be, you know, when they were actually going to move in might have been 3 months, 6 months, 1 year.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, I bought another one. Where was this other one? I bought another one in French's Forest as well. Again, it was just an off-market opportunity. The agent just sent it out to their local agent database. I got it for 137, right. And in a normal market, it would sell for about 145. So again, about an $80,000 discount to normal market. But again, moving quickly, managed to get a cool-off period on that one. But moving quickly, having the clients pre-approved, we're able to beat the other buyers to the punch by getting that executed as quickly as possible.
Fantastic, Rich. And you know, I'm going to ask you to pull out your crystal ball now. You know,
sure.
And if you, where do you see opportunities in the near future, and for whom in particular? Is there anything, any insight you can give us on that?
Look, I guess there's opportunities across all different spectres of the market. Look, I think let's start at the first buyers on the ladder. So first time buyers are starting to come back into the fray. Yep. So people that thought, hey, the property I was trying to buy is out of my reach, it's actually coming back slightly within reach. I don't think we're going to see 20 or 30% discounts. I mean, some of the worst case, look, if China doesn't want to buy any of our commodities, or we have, you know, a big trade lockdown, sure, we're going to have a major issue, but that's, I don't think that's going to be the case. Once our borders reopen and we start the economy chugging, I think it's going to be back to, you know, we've got some debts to pay, but a lot more business as usual. So I think the first home buyer market, there's going to be opportunities them to get in where they thought they couldn't afford to. I think for the upgrader market, again, same thing. Those that were perhaps trying to buy properties in the suburb that were slightly out of their reach, again, can get into that market. I also think maybe, you know, also I know at the top end of the market, so the prestige, the high net worth, those prestige markets, there's definitely great opportunity to buy there. But those vendors in that market are not as motivated. They're not affected by interest rates. So for them, it's just, look, if they're going to trade down or trade up, for them, it's just an opportunistic thing. It's like a domino effect. They've got to find their next property before they're willing to sell.
Yeah.
So what I'd also say, like for vendors out there that are perhaps even watching this, it still can be a good time to sell, because if you can buy something at a cheaper rate, you won't take such a hit on the sale of your property. So you more than make it up for in the purchase.
That's true.
What you lose in the sale.
There's always the other side of the coin. Yeah.
Yeah. So to speak. So I think the other opportunity, Darren, is to talk about is investors. You know, the investors out there, sure, the rental market is a little bit soft at the moment, and it's tough for some of the tenants to keep paying their rent if they've had an income hit or lost their job. But there's still a significant portion of the population, over 30%, that need to rent. And, you know, and the government is continuing to provide negative gearing policy. So it's there. That's going to continue. So I think the opportunity to buy a good quality investment property while the market's softer can see you get some strong gains as we head back into the 2021 market.
Oh, fantastic. And just out of interest, I'm always fascinated myself. What's the relationship like between buyer's agents and real estate agents? Do they like each other? Do they not like each other?
Yeah, great question. So we have a really positive relationship, probably with, you know, 99% of agents. I treat agents as a supplier. Okay. So they have a stock of property that I want to access. They have vendors that have properties that we want, that our clients want to buy. Right. Now, the agents look at us and they go, hey, Rich and his team, they've got qualified buyers. And I use the word qualified. So we bring a buyer to the table that we know their budget, we know their preferences, and we know we're not going to be a time waster or a tire kicker to that agent. And I train my team and we play a very straight bat. When we're negotiating and dealing with agents, we say, look, we have a client, they've got X budget, they want to buy in these three suburbs, what have you got off market? And we do a tremendous number or proportion of our transactions in the off-market space. So, and I'll just explain that an off-market property means it's not advertised on your typical portals on real estate or domain. You won't see it, very difficult to get access to unless you have a relationship with that particular agent. So we do a lot in that space. So, I mean, of course, we have a bit of a good banter and a good joke with agents, but we have to maintain a very strong professional boundary. So, you know, I go into bat and try and save every dollar I can for my client. You know, I don't reveal the upper limit of my budget to the agent. That's privileged information, just like a solicitor has privileged information with their client. That's the privilege that my client has with me, and they've got to have confidence and trust that that will protect their interests. So we do that. We have a good banter. We have a good ding-dong with the negotiations, and then we shake hands and have a drink at the end of it. So that's pretty much how it works.
You know? And, you know, listening to you kind of makes sense to me, as you say. Agents are like a supplier, and for agents, you are potential buyers.
So correct.
Why wouldn't there be a good relationship? Because you're both helping each other.
Absolutely, we help each other. Look, agents always comment to me afterwards. They go, "Rich, it was fantastic dealing with you or your team. We love dealing with you guys because you don't waste time. You know what to do. You don't muck around. You get the pest and building done. You send the contracts with all the amendments made. Like, we just make life easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
And agents particularly love us at auction because we don't dither around the arms folded going, oh, we're not going to bid. You know, we're out there leading the charge. We're bidding because we go, hey, we want to buy this property. You know, so. And the other thing, Darrell, we've got an agent database. If there's any agents out there watching, we'd love you on our database. But we send out a brief, a buyer's brief to our agent database to get these opportunities. And, you know, if you're trying to do this on your own, you can do it. But most people take 12 months or longer because they've got to establish relationships with agents to get access to these off markets. Gotcha. They've got to learn, they've got to learn to understand the local market. So we can fast track for them. And in a rising market, particularly, you know, some people get priced out. We saw that as the market recovered in sort of the middle of 2019. People thought, oh, I've got 1.5 and I'm not spending a dollar over. Suddenly the market jumped to 1.65. It jumped to 150 grand in a couple of months. Wow. And so people that were out of the market missed out on that opportunity. So that's why we say now's an opportunity to come back in.
Definitely. And that's actually really interesting what you mentioned before. So when someone is at auction, you go with them to auction, and are you the one bidding, or are you like?
I'm bidding on behalf of the client. Yeah, so the client gives me. So if you were my client, Darren, we would have a conversation before the auction and say, you would have given you an appraisal and say that the property is worth between, you know, 1.4 to 1.45. Yep. You would give me your maximum limit, say at 1.45. And then I would go into bat for you at that limit. And I wouldn't bid above that, but I'll use my tactics to get it for under that number for you.
Oh, that's cool.
I can just takes all the emotion out for you.
I can sit back and relax.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a glass of wine and let you do all the work. Fantastic, Rich. So tell us a bit more about property buyer and your company and your team and how we can find you if we need to as well.
Sure. So propertybuyer.com.au is the website. I've got a team of 10 buyer's agents that all work with me, and we all specialise in different parts, different geographic regions. So we're buying properties in Sydney, in Brisbane, Melbourne, Newcastle and Wollongong. Yeah. I also have a network of buyer's agents right around the country. So if you need other areas, I can refer you to my trusted colleagues in Perth or Adelaide or wherever you want to buy. So the way the process works is that we meet with the client, we get an idea of their brief, and we help them create a strategy around their buyer's brief. Then we give them some information and some research on the suburbs that they should be targeting. So we give them median prices, comparable sales, growth projections, yields, all the information they need to make a good decision. Yep. And then we start the process of searching. Darren, most people jump straight to that online searching phase. They don't create a brief and they don't understand the market. So you've got to do that first initial step, very important. So we find properties, we create a short list of properties for the client to come with us and inspect. We go and inspect them before we show the client to make sure they meet the grade and meet the specs. Show the client the property. If they like it, at that point we do an appraisal, a very detailed appraisal of the property based on comparable sales. So that local knowledge is absolutely critical. Once we've done the appraisal, then we have a discussion around making an offer, and then we negotiate on behalf of the client. If it's a private treaty, we just simply make an offer. If it's an auction, we'll try to buy it through a pre-auction process. Gotcha. Once we've got agreement on price and terms with the agent, we get the contract reviewed by their solicitor. organise the facilitate the exchange of contracts. We also coordinate the any pest and building or strata searches that need to be done. Get the property exchanged. That's a critical execution point. And then during the settlement period, if it's an investment property, we'll arrange for a property manager to start leasing and advertising the property for them. And we'll also attend to a pre-settlement inspection. So it's a full end-to-end service that we offer. We do offer kind of three levels of service. One is that whole process I've just described. That's the full search, which probably 95% of our clients do. And then we have just an appraise and negotiate only service where the client does the searching themselves and we just appraise and negotiate. Okay. And then we also have just an auction bidding service. Just tell us your limit and we'll go and bid on your behalf.
I like that. You know, you can also split up the processes, and if people want to access certain parts of it, they can.
That's right. Correct. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And just in general, what percentage of properties these days go to auction and what don't?
I think, look, in Sydney, probably around, was around 20 to 30% of properties go to auction. In Melbourne, it's around 40%. So the vast majority of properties are still sold by private treaty. It's just that you see in the headlines that the auction clearance rates are advertised and talked about because it's a leading indicator of the health of the market.
Gotcha.
The problem with auction clearance rates, though, Darren, at the moment is we've had, with COVID-19 hitting, we haven't had the right data, and so many properties have been withdrawn from auction, and a withdrawn from auction property is counted as a no sale, even though it might sell after the auction. So you're seeing auction clearance rate plummet to 30-25%, which is a very unhealthy market.
Right, it's not
during a healthy market, it was around 70-80%, right? But I think you're probably still looking at around 50% clearance rates, even on the withdrawn properties, because they sell after auction.
That's right. Good point. Very good point. That's interesting. I would have thought that there would be a higher percentage of auction these days, but not.
Yeah. Look, in the prime suburbs, so like eastern suburbs, Lower North Shore, Northern Beaches, Inner West, those markets are all very much auction markets.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're talking sort of some of the Hills District, western suburbs, southwestern areas, a larger majority are sold by private treaty in those areas.
Fantastic. I mean, personally, I would always like to go off market or non-auction, no stress. But, you know, I suppose if I have someone like you next to me, you might be okay.
That's it.
So, Rich, best way for people to find you is just your website?
That's right. Yeah, propertybuyer.com.au, correct.
Beautiful. Fantastic. And, look, I mean, that's been an absolutely fascinating discussion. I've learned a hell of a lot about, you know, more and more about the market from you. And it's so apparent to me that you're so passionate about property, about the property buyers agents and helping people buy their properties and, you know, achieving the Australian dream. And really nice to see someone that's that passionate about doing a great job and helping their clients.
Thank you. I mean, I think it's really important. You've got to love what you do. If you don't love what you do, change jobs. You know what I mean? So, I mean, the greatest satisfaction I get out of my job, sure, I get paid for it, but an even greater satisfaction I have is helping a family or an investor secure a property. You know, I love getting great testimonials, and it's like, you know, Rich, we couldn't have found this without you. Thank you so much. And I just love it. It warms my heart that we know we're doing a great thing for families and people to get ahead in the property market.
Yeah, and it must be quite emotional, like when you're right next to them and their hammer's closed and they've just secured their property and, you know, they start bawling and you're right there and saying, wow.
There's plenty of tears of joy and hugs of joy, absolutely. Not at the moment there's hugs of joy because it's social distancing, but generally speaking, yeah, absolutely. A lot of high fives and all that.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I love it. I'd love to be involved in that one day just to see how it all works. Fantastic. Well, Rich, thank you so much for coming on. I mean, I always ask everybody at the end, have you got a tip or two or something to leave everybody with just in these times, just to get an idea, as you know, give them some insight into what they can and can't do?
Look, a couple of tips I would give to your listeners. One is, even if you're not ready to buy now, that's fine. We would just say, get prepared. So I would say, look, review your finances. We're heading into May and June, which is tax time. Look at your budget. Look at ways you can sort of save money, reduce your spending, and get pre-approved. And don't procrastinate. You know, I spoke to a lovely couple this morning. They paid off their home, and then they waited 7 years till they started thinking about buying an investment property. There's a huge opportunity cost. The minute you sort of, people don't realize the cost of doing nothing. Yeah. The cost of waiting is actually higher than the cost of actually taking action and getting a right advice. So I'd say, look at your finances, get your budget in track, get a pre-approval. If you need a broker, I would recommend using a finance broker rather than going straight to your bank.
Right.
Brokers have the ability to find out the best loans and help you review your situation. If you need one, I'm happy to refer some great brokers to you. And then start formulating a plan. And if you need help, just give us a ring. Love to have a conversation and help you on your journey. So Yeah, biggest thing I can do is say get your finances sorted and get your mindset right into helping grow your wealth and tackle your property plan sooner rather than later.
Fantastic. Well, some very, very sound advice there from none other than Rich Harvey from Property Buyer. So if everybody's interested in, you know, purchasing a new property, learning more about the market and what to do, have a chat to Rich and his team. You know, I can see from the passion that he's communicated in this interview that he's definitely got you back.
Thank you so much, Darren. Pleasure being on your show, as always.
Absolute pleasure, Rich. It's been an enlightening discussion, and I really hope that everybody got a lot out of that. So for everybody out there, thank you very much, and thanks again, Rich.
And, thank you.
We'll see you very, very soon.